Okay, my name is actually Betty Beckmeyer, not to be confused with Marnie Story or Betty Daniels. There we go. I'm going to kick this off, but this is really about my colleagues here who will be taking this over for me. But David actually mentioned the CRISP study. We're going to be talking about CRISP as well, not to be confused with potato chips and all that kind of thing. But my name is Betty Beckmeyer, and I'm the one of the PIs on the CRISP project. I'm a co-PI. Michelle Issel at University of Illinois in Chicago is the PI. And we're doing this work with health departments here in Washington, our Washington, the other Washington state, and Illinois. And I have no financial, and I don't think any of us do, right, everybody? We have no financial relationships, so, okay, none of us. Got that? Okay. CRISP, if you're wondering, as David mentioned, just as a reminder, comes from keeping RNs to improve and strengthen population health. Now, the purpose of CRISP, and I'm going to be talking about kind of overarching what this is all about, and these guys will be talking about something more specifically. David talked about another aspect. But the overarching purpose of CRISP is to improve public health nursing recruitment and increase public health nursing retention. Now, in the current environment, it's become a lot about, that's meant more about keeping nursing positions in health departments in particular, and achieving these purposes in relationship to this work through our HRSA-funded project is to improve doing this through the improvement of the quality of public health nursing care through better nursing recruitment, retention, and competency. So the program goals around CRISP pertain to us having goals around each county health department to have a public health and to retain public health nursing leadership at an executive level within the county structure, and that each county have practices, particularly around quality improvement, that contribute to achieving low nurse turnover, maintaining nursing positions, et cetera, and that each county local health department have public health nurses involved in quality improvement system that contributes to improving nurse-sensitive indicators for population health outcomes. And I'll say something about those indicators in a moment. Now, CRISP strategies include education, a piece around education, and with that we use the public health nursing, the Quad Council public health nursing competencies, for those of you that are familiar with those. And through that we've been doing training around population-focused nursing activity and public health activity in general, how to use data, using data more for decision making, et cetera, quality improvement. Secondly, there's also a big piece to CRISP that's about support and guidance with and among and to these nursing directors from these health departments, including support and technical assistance around quality improvement, these trainings that I mentioned, grant review and support, and that kind of thing. And also in relationship to looking at these nurse-sensitive indicators, these indicators that we identified while we were writing a grant and came up with together, were around looking at over time rates of chlamydia per 100,000 population, percent of children with full immunization. Then we also were going to have client satisfaction measures as well. We've turned those into sort of patient to population level satisfaction indicators, which have been difficult to do as well. And a lot of this has been difficult given the climate in which we've been trying to work on all of this together. But we've been plugging along and getting a lot out of it nonetheless. And I should also say that as we've been working together with CRISP, particularly in Washington, CRISP has kind of laid the groundwork for work among the public health nursing leaders around the state altogether. And I think we're going to kind of talk about that and around nursing directors throughout the state of Washington. So our talk right now is focusing more on developing and monitoring the competencies among the public health nursing competencies among these leaders, et cetera. So in relationship to that, we use these core public health, the core competencies for public health, the public health workforce, which laid the groundwork for the public health nursing competencies. And we started off with some measurement. We did some of this before CRISP even began with the nursing directors and looked at measurement of their of competencies, self-assessment of public health nursing competencies, and had kind of a baseline. And then since then, have been doing more of this through CRISP with the nursing directors in CRISP, but then also statewide with nursing directors around the state. And I think I'll hand it over to Marnie.
So I'm Marnie Story. I'm the Deputy Director of Clark County Public Health in Washington State. And mostly today what I'm going to talk about is the Washington State CRISP sites. And I did want to introduce Hillary Gillette Walsh. She's Cowlitz, which is right above Clark. We're down in the southwest corner. And Elaine Conley is the Spokane County nursing director that was also involved in this project. So I think today I drew the short straw, so I'm in the one. Or maybe I drew the long straw. So in Washington State, we have a document that we fondly refer to as the Agenda for Change. And it's really a framing document that sort of helps guide us conceptually through this sort of movement toward population-based public health services. So I was just going to tell you a little bit about our document. Really describes population-focused community prevention, increasingly becoming the focus of local health jurisdictions in Washington State. And really re-emphasizes that we need to be science-based and really need to look at policies to address the wide range of needs through social determinant work. So the public health, three nursing leaders in Washington State, the three of us involved in the CRISP project, there's many leaders in Washington State, but we really began through the CRISP resources to systematically evaluate our public health nursing staff's competencies related to the Quad Council competencies, and then began really some training processes based on what we were learning through that. So Betty's talked a little bit about CRISP. Again, when we talk about through the, and this is probably I'm preaching to the choir here, but just to frame it around our framing document, we talk about public health protects people from communicable disease and other health threats through prevention, early detection, and rapid response. So that's what our document talks about, building communities that prevent disease and injury, promoting healthy starts, and ongoing wellness through for long healthy lives. So that's sort of the what our document describes. What we've determined is that really to get there, there are some key elements that we have to address. One of those is new workforce skills and competencies. And then there's other things like prioritizing work and modifying our business practices within our local health jurisdictions. And then in Washington State, probably like most of the nation, long-term predictable funding sources is one of our goals through this framing document. So really feeling like success requires action-oriented, coordinated leadership across the state. And so this is sort of the framing that we used as we went through this process with CRISP. A little bit more framing, sorry. And you guys probably, know this saying. You're probably saying it in the middle of the night when you're sleeping and your partners and spouses are saying, what? Ultimately, we all know that the choices that we make are shaped by the choices that we have. And we get that message so clearly, but it's so hard when we're working across sectors and trying to describe this message. And honestly, with a lot of the public health nurses in our agencies who sort of were birthed into public health through categorically funded programs, conceptually moving into population-based health and really getting this message has been difficult for them as well. They spent 25 or 30 years providing individual services. The approaches that we're moving the nurses toward using are really population-based choice approaches using the socio-ecologic model and neighborhood models. We're working a lot on continuous quality improvement, life course approaches, and then throughout everything that we're doing, we're trying to look at and address inequities. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the socio-ecologic model, in my department, we lovingly refer to this as the wedding cake, and we're trying to move really a lot of our services in our local health department down toward the base or the foundation of that wedding cake and looking at how do we begin to address public policy, how do we begin to engage our community and get them to advocate for health changes, healthy changes in their neighborhoods and their communities, and some on the organizational level. So that's where we're trying to go in our departments across Washington. So what were some of our workforce strategies? As Betty said, we've done some pre-tests even before the CRISP project. We did some competencies. It's a self-administered survey tool. We've done some with a Washington, Oregon group and done some with the original CRISP sites and then also in Illinois in, I think, 2007. So overall, the questions that we were asking is, what is the overall perceived competency of public health staff in Washington State, and how does public health leadership differ from their public health staff on these competency levels? So that's sort of the two questions that we looked at with our most recent round of surveys. The survey is was developed by Michelle Eisel and Baldwin, and it's divided into the 10 essential services. It's a self-administered, self-reflective survey. Each question reflects the Quad Council competency, so it's sort of broken up into those sub areas. We administered it to originally all of the CRISP sites, and that was in 2010. And that, so there was three sites in Illinois and three sites in Washington. And then what we decided is it was a helpful tool, and so we administered it to what we call Community Health Leadership Forum, which is, we used to call ourselves public health nursing directors, but we have non-nursing leadership, and a lot of the leadership in that forum have both nursing staff and other health educators, epidemiologists, so multidisciplinary teams now. So December of 2010, we administered it to the 18 community health nursing leadership directors that were there, and then shared the results with them, and again, they found it helpful and asked, and through Betty, we were able to get a PhD student, right? Yeah, PhD, I couldn't remember, oh, DNP, okay, sorry, I couldn't remember if it was PhD, so DNP student, who actually has helped us to administer this survey to all of our public health community level staff that report to these directors. And so she was, in March of 2011, she was able to administer it to 63 of our public health nursing and interdisciplinary staff. So this is sort of a busy slide, but basically what we found was pretty consistent with other times that this survey's been administered, that the competency linking people to services is consistently rated as the highest competency really by all three of the groups that we administered the survey to. And then enforcing, and I don't have a pointer, but hopefully you can see we're linking. It's the tallest bar. Oh. I don't know. I think you can probably see it because it is the tallest bar. You just have to trust me.
You're a nurse.
I'm a nurse. Yeah, we're the number one trusted profession, right? So, and then the lowest bar is enforce laws and regulations, and followed by monitoring community health status. So that was among the leadership, and then so that's not surprising that those were the lower competencies. So just a little bit about lessons learned and what we did. Basically, what we learned is that there are many nurses, as I said, that worked in categorical programs providing individual services, that they understood the need to move toward population-based services but lacked the knowledge, experience, and skills to work at the lower levels of that socio-ecologic model, and that they actually had less experience working in interdisciplinary teams. So what we did is we provided the nurses, in most cases, in most of our departments, time together, so time to focus on nursing practice. So every month we would meet, we would talk about public health nursing practice, we would provide training based on the results of the competency screening, and it was just a time also that they could support one another because they were often siloed in different funding. The other thing is with the CRIS project, they were able to do a salary comparison and an evaluation. I know in Clark County early on in that process, that did help us to get some salary increases so that we were somewhat more closer to some of the hospital and other nursing salaries. So that's really what we were able to provide. We were able to introduce nurses to even just become familiar with the competencies and even that the competencies existed, review assessment skills, remind them that they did learn community health assessment and they did have assessment skills, and just sort of bring that back up to the forefront of their minds. Spent a lot of time on quality improvement skills. And then now we're beginning to talk about how do you influence, develop, and support policy within your communities. And that's sort of where we're at now. And we'll save that for the end. Thank you.